The right to health is enshrined in international law through several instruments. For us, we see health not only as the absence of disease, and not only a question of access to services, but in fact, the right to be human in a manner that you have your physical and mental integrity upheld. It's very important for women and young people, for example. Just to state the obvious, pregnancy is not a disease. It's an intrinsic part of the human condition. How does one provide a healthcare system in such a way that a woman need not lose her life giving life? Most maternal mortality can be easily prevented, as indeed most infant mortality can, with the right services, the right policies, and the right priorities. So that's our business, to say, goodness me, there's no excuse for not providing people essential life-saving services.
And that leads me to my next question then. If, as you state, health is a human right,
yes,
then health workers are human rights defenders. You know, what is your office doing to protect them in the field?
Alongside other parts of the machinery of human rights defence, and we have quite a powerful set of experts advising on this, and of course the High Commissioner for Human Rights, whose own mandate is to be watchful across the world of what is the status of human rights. Now, within that framework, numbers of experts have pointed to the fact that increasingly health workers have been targeted for the very fact of carrying out health. Of course, in conflict settings, there's been a marked spike in the targeting of hospitals, of doctors, of ambulances, and of nurses. And this is not only just quite unconscionable, it's further formally against international humanitarian law and the basic rules of war to which each government has signed up by virtue of being a member of the United Nations. But in non-conflict settings, health workers who work with communities that are subjected to terrible bigotry, those working with those suffering leprosy, for example, health workers providing services to those living with HIV and AIDS, workers whose priority is sexual and reproductive health. It's extraordinary to see a pattern across the globe of health workers being targeted for providing compassionate, humane care rooted in medical science. Now, that's a violation of fundamental rights. And in fact, you know, even the right to enjoy the fruits of medical science is enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And it's very important that we denounce those attacks squarely. We call them for what they are: wrong, unfair, and unjust.
More broadly, your office, yes, has been speaking out about a general trend, the erosion of human rights throughout the world. What more could or should the UN be doing?
The United Nations came as the child of the horrendous experience of World War II and all that that represented. One of its founding documents was this promise to treat us all equally. That's the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Now, across the world, when we see leaders of governments start to violate those founding principles of what it means to be a humanizing sovereign state, then we know not only are the people of that state or that country going to suffer, we're all suffering as a result, because a sense of permission to start to discriminate on the basis of identity, race, gender, disability, sexual orientation, or the sense that somehow if you and I disagree, that that's a threat to my security. This is a nonsense. The attack on dissent, for example, is improper for a sovereign, secure state. It's also against human rights law. The effort to interfere with judicial independence or to, in some way, not allow free and fair elections. These are all matters of human rights. And when any country has high tolerance for those violations, we all suffer. Every single person on this good earth is entitled to be treated equally in dignity and rights. And that's a founding promise of the United Nations. And we hope its membership will not stray far from that path, because the consequences for the world are very grave indeed. And we don't need, surely, more examples in history to emerge of just how wrong are the outcomes when the world fails to uphold that basic idea that we're all born equal in dignity and rights.